Well, good morning, everybody. How are you feeling?
Wonderful.
Good. I'm asking Kaylin just to say a few words first.
Well, good morning, everybody. Wonderful to be here. It's been a wonderful weekend. Haven't we had some great words? Haven't we had some great messages? And isn't there a unity in that? I'm so excited about that. And at this ladies' session yesterday, I felt we had a real confirmation of some of those things too. We had some wonderful opportunities to pray together. And I just feel, as I look again at your shining faces, yesterday it was the ladies, but today it's all of you, that God has really broken some things this weekend. As in the message of Ruth's song, has really broken some things. And, you know, it's a fresh time, isn't it? A fresh opportunity. Wonderful to see some of you who've been here for so many years, who've got the experience and the knowledge that needs to be passed on to the younger generation. And wonderful to see some younger people here as well who can take that on. So I've really so much enjoyed so much of this weekend. And I look forward to some more as well. Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. Let's say together, praise God. I mean, God needs it a bit louder. Praise God.
Praise God.
And praise God.
And praise God.
Amen. He lives in his praises. Now, let's do the impossible. I just don't want to be a talking shop up here this morning. I want us to be doing something. So is it possible for us to break into groups of six, pull all the chairs out, turn around in groups of six? Now, is that going to be possible? Let's do the impossible, will you please? Groups of six. Come out of your comfort zone. Come out of your comfort zone. Has everybody got one, please? If you haven't got one, raise your hand. Okay. Everybody's got one? Open it or just leave it at the first page. Let's say together. The quotation from Smith Wigglesworth says, quotation, the word quotation, right at the front. Now, some of you are opening it and reading it. I don't want you to open it and read it, thank you. Okay. Quotation, this is the word of God. Let's say together. This is the word of God. It is supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, in value, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal application, inspired in totality. Read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, and then... Amen! That's from Smith Wigglesworth, who was one of the greatest preachers we've ever had around the place 120 years ago. Now, if we look at the Bible, how did Jesus get his numbers? Well, first of all, how did Jesus get his numbers? You know, he came out and he started to preach, but how did he get his numbers? Pardon? I'm talking about the people, how did he get his followers? How did he get the hundreds to follow him? No, he didn't handpick them. Yeah, he handpicked his disciples. I'm talking about people who followed him around the country. One said the word of God. Who do you say? Exactly. Now, how's the full gospel businessmen fellowship going to grow? Healings and miracles. I came to the Lord, many of us have, as a result of a healing touch or a miracle from God. And if Jesus had come and said, I'm the Messiah, the kingdom of God has come, and did nothing else, I would be amazed if he had many followers at all. Why did he do the miracles and signs? To establish the kingdom of God on this earth and to establish who he was. So if we've been talking all weekend about the growth of this fellowship, if it wants to grow, there should be signs following. That was we're told at the end of Mark's gospel. There should be signs following. Who can say amen to that?
Amen.
And we're all part of having signs following if we are prepared to listen and do something. If you're prepared to do nothing, just sit in our seat and just float along until the Lord takes us, well, I suppose that's all right. But to me, we need a bit more than that. So that's my view. I'm just looking for my glasses, sweetheart.
It'll be in any pocket, do you?
It'll be be in any pocket. There we are, good. That's why I got a wife. Okay, now. All right, just some headings. I'm just going to quickly through them. We're going to do a lot of stuff, we hope. Meaning of true repentance. On Friday night, I spoke about the 180 degrees. Well, not Friday night, it was Saturday morning. I talked of turning from darkness to light, and then I didn't originate this. This is what God said to Paul, Jesus said to Paul, turning from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. And that is what we need, the 180 degree turn. And if we don't do that turn, as I said, we'll be mixed up. If we turn 70 degrees, we've still got a whole heap of blackness in our life. If we turn 100 degrees, we've still got 80 degrees of blackness. If we're in 110 degrees, we've still got 90 degrees of blackness left in our life. We, 70 degrees, we need to turn absolutely around. That is the secret of a walk with God. And that is the secret of defeating sin. So many people mumble and grumble and have this problem and that problem. And I say, turn from darkness to light. You have never been fully saved. You've been partially saved. You're like a car that's going on about half its volume. It's just spluttering away. The power's not there. The power comes when we truly repent. So that's all I'm going to say about repentance. So if you felt you have never fully turned to God, let the Lord speak to you today and tonight. Get on your knees or sometime. Say, Lord, I'm turning absolutely to you. I'm turning from all that stuff I've liked. I mean, I'd like to watch football more than read the Bible. I'd like to go shopping more than read the Bible. I'd like to do this and that. I'm going to put you first, then watch the miracles happen. Yeah, I mean, everything about the Word of God is simple. Did you understand and realize that? There's nothing, of course, there are deep secrets, but it requires a child to understand them. By that, I mean a person who's prepared to humble themselves. And if we've got a lot of signs and numbers behind our name, well, we can die by degrees with all the education we've had. The issue is being simple as a little child, except you become like a little child. So can I exhort you to search your hearts from this day on? Say, am I really putting God first? Have I really turned that 180 degrees? You do it, and then you'll see God act. Because we are allowing it. How can you fight a battle if you've got one arm behind your back? How can you fight a battle if you've got, you're not fully fronting God and allowing the whole light of God into your heart? Whereas we've got still have darkness there and lusts and all sorts of problems. And the easiest people I see delivered are those who do the 180 degrees. They come to me for deliverance and bang, the demons are gone. The hardest ones are those who have only turned part of the way. They did about half an hour of counselling, and then most of them they don't want to do it. It's too hard, and they'd rather keep their demons. So that's why so many Christians have demons. All right. Now, how many people in this place, and I want you to be honest about it, do not speak fluently in tongues? Raise your hand, please. If you do not fluently speak in tongues, fluently. Be honest about this now. If you don't fluently speak in tongues, fluently speak in tongues, fluently speak in tongues. You know what I'm talking about, speaking in tongues. My people, my people, my people, this is a gift that I offer you. This is a gift that will show you my power through you, whereby I'll show my power through you and see many set free and delivered. So it's a powerful gift, cancelling the ugly carnal mind that we have. We can't understand God through our mind. We will never understand God through our carnal, ugly, natural mind. It's a fighting God all the time. We're under Adam, but when we get the mind of Christ, everything changes. And when we start to speak in tongues, our natural mind is saying, what's that garbage? What's that stuff? I don't understand it. I still want control of your natural mind. But when I surrender my tongue to God, I put aside my natural mind, and I go, Gila Mahashua, Indi Hinda Bahadna. God is great. God is great. The fact of the matter is we've got to break that cursed thing between our mind and our tongue. And that's why I'm speaking to you who don't speak in tongues. You're only part way into the power of God unless you do. I don't want to condemn you. You still go to heaven. You'll still be saved. But why not have full throttle, eh? Why not have a full throttle car, a twin turbo, okay? All right. Now, those of you who don't fluently speak in tongues, please stand for a moment. Where you are, please stand. Please stand, that's right. Now, I want people around you in a moment to pray with you to come into this wonderful gift. Now, this is a great, this is a strength of the full gospel business, man. This is where it was originally founded on, speaking, like, of course, the gospel and speaking in tongues. And I preached, I went to many conventions where Demas Shakarian, who through whom the Lord spoke to start the whole show, he was always very keen on people speaking in tongues. Now, can we have one person stand on one? It may mean a few people moving out of a seat for a moment. Can you do that? Just one-on-one. Come and stand on one, or preferably one-on-one. There could be two of you if you like. We want to do this. I'd like you to lay hands on them. Don't start speaking yet, please. Just wait for me a moment, please. Look, there's a whole bunch of people over there with nobody with them. A whole bunch over there with nobody with them. Come on, full gospel guys. This is your strength. Has anybody got nobody standing with them? Anybody got nobody? Look, look at that corner over there. Those ladies over there. Come on, a couple of you guys. This is your strength. This is going to be a workshop, not a talk shop. Come on. We want to go out better than we came in. Now, just a moment before we. They're still got their hands waving over that corner by the word exit. Some more people. Now, let's hold it a moment. Hold it a moment, folks. Hold it a moment. Let God have a chance. All right, those being prayed for and everybody else, let's say, I repent from all sin. Let's say it again. Come on. Everybody say it. I repent from all sin. Jesus Christ is my Lord. And those of you who do not speak in tongues, say this, please. Dear Heavenly Father, please fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me this wonderful gift of speaking to you in another language. I will open my mouth, I will not listen to what I say, and I will believe for you to anoint me with this wonderful gift of speaking in tongues. Now let's pause all for a moment and let's wait for the anointing. Here it comes, just quietly. Now, those of you with the people who are not speaking in tongues, I want you just to speak in your tongue, in tongues. The person standing, don't stand and ask questions. If you want to speak in tongues, don't ask any questions. Just let God do it. Father, I ask you now that you pour out your Holy Spirit. Open your mouth and speak out, starting with the word Abba, 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 Abba. Say that, Abba, Abba, like a baby. Abba, 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 like Kalamataba. Speak out, speak out, speak out. Abba, 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 Rundalamaba. Abba, Rakatelamata. Speak out, start with the word Abba, Abba, Abba. Say Abba, say Abba. Abba, 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 Abba. Keep your eyes shut, keep your eyes shut. Abba Babala Kalamata Bala Shanda Baka Ambala Kitila Matakila Ela Malabala. Speak out, keep going. Like a baby, like a baby, like a baby, like a baby. Abba Babala Randala Mabala Kalamata Bala Shanda Bala Hambala Randala Matabala. Don't listen to what you're doing. Don't listen to what you're doing. Abba Babala Sharanda Kalanda Bala Ela Katalamata Bala Shanda Abba Baba Hababa Hababa Hala Randalama. Don't listen to what you're doing. Just speak out. Abba ba 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 la rundala ma ba la katala ma da ba la kala ma da ba la shanda ba la ba da ba ambala ha rundala ma da ba katala ma. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, like a baby. Abba ba ba ha rundala ma tata ambala ha rundala ma da ba. Speak out, speak out like a baby, like a baby, like a baby, like a baby, like a baby. Just speak out. Abba ba ba la rundala ma ba ba la rundala ma da ba la shanda kala ma da ba la. Humble like a chilla, like a chilla, mother. Humble like a chilla, my chipper. Speak out like a baby. Abba, ba, 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 kala, mother. Abba like a chilla, like a chilla, my chipper. Humble like a rundala, my chipper. Speak out like a baby. Abba la rahantama, angela, my chipper, la shanda, ba. Humble like a chilla, like a chilla, mother. Keep speaking, keep speaking, keep speaking. Kila matabala, let the words roll out. Tila matabala, sharandila mataba. Amba, 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 abababa, abababa, like a baby. Babala, randila matabala, sharandila ma. Endila matabala, shandila katila mataka. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, one final burst. Abba, ba, 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 ba Kilamadabala Sharandila Madaba Hamba. Abala Harandila Madaba. Hila Madabalaka. Ababala Harandila Matapa Babala Shara. Ila Matabakala Madabaka Telamadabala. Ila Madabala Shanda Kalamadaba. Bala Shanda Bala Shanda Ababa Bala Rundala Mada Bala Shanda Bala Ibaba Bala. Well, thank you. We'll stop now. How many people have now begun to speak in tongues who were not doing it before? Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Over here. Come on, you listen to me, please. I saw a lot of you. You're not listening. How many of you over there are now speaking in tongues, speaking out what you weren't before? Raise your hands. That's right, that's right, that's right. Yes. Now, regardless of whether you've spoken or not, let's say together, everybody in this place, I believe I have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I have seen many people do this in a meeting. They have not spoken at all, some of them, but they've got outside, some driving their car, and suddenly this urge comes on them to speak in tongues because you've opened your heart to God. So don't despair. If you haven't spoken in tongues, just expect to do so in the next few days or weeks. But just the secret is to start with the word Abba. Abba means Father, Heavenly Father, God the Father. Abba Baba, Abba Bala Harindala Maba. Just speak it out in your car or wherever you are. Because when you do, you'll start to suddenly feel the power of God and you'll break through. Let's say together, break through. Break through to God. Okay, please be seated. Give the Lord a clap as you do. Now, can I repeat? Could we open that door a bit? It's getting very hot. Thank you. Now, can I have your attention, please? Because we just run quite speedily. Yeah. Excuse me. Excuse me, can I have your attention, please? Now, remember what I've said. Expect something to happen if you haven't spoken in tongues. Start to say quietly, ah, ba, 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 hello, and the power of God will fall on you, and God will put a language on your tongue, and you'll speak out. And I always remember the case I read about in Oral Roberts University where a man heard two people speaking outside his study, one of the professors, and he thought, well, he'll go out and try and help this fellow to speak in tongues. He needed to learn. And he went out, and he found they were talking in Japanese. You see, the point about it is, they were actually two Japanese, but they were talking in Japanese. But he thought from a distance that they were trying to learn to speak in tongues. See, what comes out of our mouth is quite contrary to what our ears expect. So if we've got stuck in a groove, we're never too young and never too old to learn. And just always remember, be like a little child. Jesus said many times, except you become like a little child, you won't enter the kingdom of God because your natural, ugly, carnal mind. I repeat, your natural, ugly, carnal mind will fight all the way. That's why the Bible says not many wise people ever get into heaven. Did you know that? Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. They're too wise with the things of this world, with all their theology, with all they know. They are just too wise to humble themselves and become like a little child. And not many mighty people and not many noble. That's why I've always said, you'll always see most people who are coming to Christ are the poorest of the poor. Those who've got the plenty of money are the hardest to get to Christ. They're too satisfied. Okay, so be like a little child. Okay, let's have a look at this pamphlet again, please. So now we go to turn to the page, set page two, because we've dealt with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we go, at your leisure, you might like to read it because it sets out the various hindrances and so forth. Okay, now I want us to go to point four, the anointing of God. The anointing of God. See it on point four? Now, we spoke about the word of God. It's a matter of believing the word like a little child. Now, there are things in the word you just need to believe. It is imperative we know the anointing of the Holy Spirit if we're going to move in the gifts properly. And there's all the scriptures there. And 1 John 2:20, if I may say, and the other scripture from John, says you have an anointing. You have an anointing. Say together, I have an anointing. It's not just Jimmy up here and Bill Zabriskie got the anointing. We all have the anointing if we are prepared to receive it. I remember one man who used to write all against all these things, and one day he met me and he said, well, Bill, one of the complaints I have against you is that you spread perfume in the meeting to get this so-called gift, fragrance of the Holy Spirit. God bless him. And I had to explain it was true, but after a long discussion on various points he disagreed with, he finally said, Bill, what is that anointing? You see, his mind was blocked. He was just looking at the Word of God through a natural mind, not as a little child. Now, this may sound a little troublesome for a moment, but I won't do it all night, but all day. But can we just stand once more, please? I just want you to lay hands for a moment on one another, but I'm going to ask you to say this first. I claim the protection of the blood of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Just lay hands on one another. Expect the power of God to fall on you. Lord, I'm expecting this power to come on people now. Your anointing. Let's say together, I have an anointing. Now begin to feel that expression. It's a warmth, a power of God is coming now. And it's fear that stops it. It's natural things that stop it. Just be like a little child and you'll feel that power coming more and more. You can all have the Jimmy power. You can all have the Bill Zabriskie power. Come on now, let it flow on you. Just relax. Don't try to get it. Just let the Spirit of God touch you. He's here. You're here, Lord. I ask you to anoint every person in this place afresh with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Thank you, Lord. Here's His power. Here's His presence. Here's His Word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord's given a word of prophecy to somebody. By that I mean a word of encouragement. If you feel you've got a word of encouragement about this matter from the Lord, please speak it out now to encourage us.
You release my children as my desire that you flow into worship. I'm seeking those who worship in spirit and truth, and this will help propel you into the Holy of Holies this gift.
Amen. Thank you, brother. A perfume of the Holy Spirit's in the place now. Many will begin to smell it. Now, here's the anointing.
Many of you will sense this fragrance, but whether you feel it or not, it is yours, said the Lord.
Amen.
I have put this fragrance on you, which is a sweet fragrance for those who are being saved, and it's a bitter scent for those who are perishing.
Thank you, Lord. So, there it is. Further confirmations from God. Here's the power, anointing coming across the meeting again. If you just close your eyes a moment, keep your hands on the other person. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing and power and presence, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Very well. How many of you have sensed that anointing for the first time? Raise your hand, please. If you've sensed it for the first time. Anybody sensed it for the first time today? Yeah, person here, yes. Person there, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Well, as you wait on the Lord, get on your own in your closet, not only will you speak in tongues, but expect this power to fall on you. I tell you, it'll transform your whole life. Expect it, you know. I'm taking you quite strongly through a situation, step by step. I want to break down barriers that are in our lives. It's our mind all the time that fights this, by the way. We work it out with our mind. You can't get this with your mind. It's faith in God. That power's falling again. It's a warmth. If you feel nothing else but a warmth through your body, that is the anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I have given you this fragrance so that you may impart it to those that are perishing. Amen. Thank you, Lord. How can you know me if you do not recognize? Learn this. This is a key. Thank you, Lord.
But it's a gift as well. It's a gift. The Holy Spirit and the anointing are the same. Very well. Let's be seated. I'm going to move to the next step. But you've heard what I've said. Expect this anointing to grow. I'll tell you one way it'll grow. As you pray for other people. Given it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Everything is not for our use. It's to encourage other people. And you'll have a stronger faith to pray. As you start to pray for other people, then you'll find this anointing will fall. You mark my words. Pray for somebody who's sick, and you'll start to see these things happen. But if you sit in your seat and do nothing, all right, you might float into heaven, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, God has called us to be active. And the full gospel, anybody else wants to grow in their faith, these are the gifts that you need. Now, just point five, let's distinguish just for one moment between the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are the nine gifts which we'll deal with in a moment, but the fruit of the Spirit, that belongs to the Holy Spirit. God gives us a gift, he doesn't take it away. If he gives you the gift of salvation, you know God never takes that away. It's we who walk away from it. That's a gift. And now God gives you nine gifts in a moment, you'll see that. But the fruit belongs to the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness and temperance. So if we go away from God, we start to lose the fruit. The Holy Spirit takes it away. So that's why you will see men with great ministries and doing mighty miracles who you suddenly learn have got three girlfriends at once and all this stuff. Because God doesn't take the gift away. But they're going to hell, even though they practice those gifts. Amen. Now, I'll never despise the gifts because you see a man who's practicing them with great power, because God doesn't take it away, and yet is living a life of sin. And you suddenly discover that and say, well, that's what he's like if he practices the gift. Forget it, mate. God gives us gifts. It's like the gift of salvation, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of word of knowledge, the gift of discernment of spirits. These gifts he gives us, and they belong in one sense to us. If I give you a gift, you don't take it away. God doesn't take it from you. So I always expect when I get up in the morning, I go to a meeting like this, I expect to operate immediately in the gifts of the Spirit, because I know God hasn't just taken it away. But the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, they're the... It's the fruit that we're judged on, not necessarily the gifts, but the gifts are a powerful instrument to bring people to Christ. Because when you start praying for people and see things happen, then that is how you get them to Christ often. All right, another point of point six, we should be in the body of Christ, not operating as lone rockets, so to speak. And then seven, we can receive the gifts in various ways by the laying on of hands, by the sovereign act of the Holy Spirit, by believing to receive them. But remember, there's a great love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and there Paul says, okay, that's all about the gifts. He describes the gifts first. Then this next chapter says, well, if you don't operate in love, you're not operating in anything. You might have the greatest faith in the world. You might be able to cast out every demon in hell. You might be able to get every crippled person out of a chair. But if you haven't got the love of God in your heart, you've got nothing. So always keep that balance between the love of God and the... And by the way, speaking in tongues, Paul says he spoke in tongues more than anybody else. And you know, what's that woman in Hong Kong? Okay, Jessie, I apologize. I listened to her, and I know of people who have been there. And you know how they used to get people out of drugs? They bring them off the streets, and they were heroin addicts and so forth. And they put them in a circle, put them in the middle of a circle. And for 3 days they'd pray in tongues and they'd walk out, they'd come up healed and become a follower of Christ and a disciple by them speaking in tongues to them. That's the power of tongues, drives every demon out. Okay, many of us have seen great miracles because of that. Yeah, okay. Now, description of the different gifts. Let's have a look at it quickly. Word of wisdom. I'm now at point 9A. This is an impression on our mind or a vision or the direct audible voice of the Holy Spirit of a thought about how to deal with a situation. Who needs wisdom? You know, you remember King Solomon had great wisdom. Unfortunately, towards the end of his life, he got 600 wives and 300 concubines. That wasn't very wise. But still, he had great wisdom. And then secondly, casting the first stone when Jesus, they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery to him. You remember what he did? He bent over twice, he listened to God, and his final comment, finally he said to them, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. Because they said, we've caught this woman in the act of adultery, what are we going to do with her? Now the Pharisee said, and he was bending over and saying, Lord, what do I do? He was waiting on God. God gave him wisdom. You who are without sin, cast the first stone. And beginning at the oldest guy right through to the youngest, they all disappeared. They'd all committed sin. And then Okay. And then the next one I'm just going to move on quickly to words of knowledge. Again, it's a thought or impression or a vision or the audible voice of God about a situation, not how to deal with it, but about it. And there's various ways we've seen, what's his name, both Jimmy and myself to a certain extent operate in that gift over the holidays, over this top period. And the gift of faith, well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Gifts of healing, all right, well, that's a gift from God that flows through us. I'm not going to say any more about than that, so all I need to say it flows through us. There's plenty on the pamphlet here about, but it flows through us as we believe. If we're blocking it by unbelief on our part, or the person you're praying for is blocking it, then obviously not much is going to happen. I mean, for Jesus went to Nazareth, and he could heal very few people. Now, he could have flicked his fingers and put the whole of the place down, but he decided to hold back, of course, in that. But, you know, elsewhere, he got great results. If I go to India or Africa or anybody else does, or to Fiji, they'll all tell you that people just get healed. Just look at them, and they've got faith. Come to New Zealand. Oh, no, we've got to work this one out. Nah, I've got to think about it. Nah, I've had this problem for 30 years. Different attitude altogether. You know, we are hardened by secular humanism for the last 200 years. And, you know, we've got to break through. That's why we've got to be like a little child. And over the years I've been preaching, I've got many videos out there, 200 or 300 major healings that took place and have lasted 20 years. If you'd like to take that, everything out there is free of charge, by the way, and encourage your faith. But the fact of the matter is, I'm claiming no glory for that. I didn't know about them until I went back 10 or 20 years later and asked for testimonies, and people said, I got healed of asthma, I got healed of being crippled, I got healed of this and healed of that. So we took them and put them in those testimonies. But that's a gift that flows through us as we put aside our natural, carnal, ugly mind. And miracles is an instantaneous healing. And the gift of prophecy, a lot of people think, that means that I can prophesy about the future. No, we're not talking about that at all here. The gift of prophecy is a word of encouragement or exhortation to another person. That's what it's referring to here. And you know what? The Bible says all should prophesy. You should be encouraging others. Now, sometimes we encourage people through our natural mind, but as we begin to do it, the Holy Spirit gives further thought. So the gift of prophecy in this part of the Bible refers to encouraging and uplifting people with a gift of word of encouragement. Now, if you are a prophet, thus saith the Lord, if Napier does not repent tomorrow, fire of hell will fall on it. If that happens, he was a prophet. You see, well, there's a difference between being a prophet and the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is for all of us. And the Bible says we should, you'll find this in 1 Corinthians 14, that everybody should prophesy. So in churches, if people were given the opportunity to bring a word, as we've had prophecy in this meeting, it would encourage other people. But most places suppress it. They want to get on and just talk shop and go home. The fact of the matter is these gifts should flow, and that would encourage people, and they'd go out with greater power. That's what I'm talking about. Discerning spirits, well, that's making you suddenly realize that the Holy Spirit's saying this person has got more than just a pain. They've got a spirit of hatred against their father, or a spirit of lust that's consuming them. And you discern that, and when you believe you discern it, you start to slowly query them down that line, and it'll either manifest or they'll admit it, and then you can cast it out, and they'll be a different person. And then gift of a public tongue. Well, you've spoken in tongues, but God may use that for public purposes. In other words, he may give you the courage to stand up in a meeting, as we've already heard two or three, and bring your message in a language for the public, for everybody, and wait for an interpretation. Somebody else will have, if actually we haven't had a gift of tongues at the moment and an interpretation. I interpreted the word the Lord was giving me, I believe. But we normally have somebody stands up and brings a message in tongues, and somebody else brings the interpretation. Now, it's a marvelous gift if it operates, because it brings such a power that falls in the place. Because you've got the gift of tongues and you've got the gift of interpretation. And then, I think that's all I want to say in that area. Now we come to practical ministry. And if you come to the word prophecy again, you've got practical ministry there. Stage one. All right. Now, you'll see there in prophecy, you've got step one there. I've got step one. Well, everybody found step one? Okay. Bring everybody, this is my suggestion, bring everybody together while we're all together and break them into groups of six. Okay. They begin to practice the gift of prophecy by encouraging each person in the group to share something which they believe the Lord wants to speak to the group, not to one person. It's not you can look in some person and say, God's telling me this about you. I just want this to be general. So I want each person in the group just to step out and say something to encourage the group. God is in our midst. God loves us. God will bless you. Something like that, just to get people used to the idea of speaking something out and start to move in the gifts. They say something the Lord wants them to speak to the group. As you do so, they should speak in the first person, like, I love you, my people. I'm with you at this time. And then you may start with something you've made up, but suddenly the Holy Spirit may give you a few more words. Now, I'm not asking for a 10-minute dissertation in each area. And if you already have this gift, don't prove to the others how great you are by going on for 20 minutes and frighten the devil out of the other people. All right. So just hold back. Just do it nice and gently. But all we're asking here, we're going to operate first the natural, then the spiritual. In other words, I want everybody just to go whip around the group in a moment and say something they think God would like to say to the group. Now, isn't that simple? Usually I find 8-year-old kids do this quite better than adults because they haven't been choked up with junk watching too much TV. All right? Okay. I'm going to give you about 3 or 4 minutes to do this. Don't give a long dissertation, just a few words. And if you feel the Holy Spirit's adding something to it, just say a few extra words. So, Father, I just pray that there'll be a freedom to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Away you go. One by one. Yeah. Just a few words. All right, we should have finished by now. Please, no discussions. No discussions. All right. Now, the gift of tongues and interpretation. I want, in a moment, you to pair off in the group, just some turn to the person next to you or something, and just I want you to talk one to the other, so we do it quickly. In other words, you turn to the other person, and if you can, you speak in tongues. If you can't, well, you say, well, at this point I can't, but have a go. And if you speak in tongues to the other person, and let the other person say something they think God is saying to you through that tongue. Now, it may be quite what you've already said. I love you, my people. I'm with you. My presence is here. Something simple. But even if you don't know it's correct or otherwise, open your mouth and say something that is encouraging. And this is all intended to be encouraging. Not, I'm going to damn you as if I see a demon coming on top of you, going to choke you. None of that stuff. I mean, it's all encouragement. This is what we should be doing in church every week, the Bible says. So just turn to the other person, the person next to you, and one of you, if you can speak in tongues, speak in tongues, just a short message, not a long one, and let the other person work it out. You two go together, eh? Yeah. The other person interprets, come on. But God will give you the gift, you step out now, step out now. If you haven't got the gift of interpretation, speak out what you think God's saying. All right, you've enthusiastically done that. I'm going to do the next one, word of knowledge. Can't stop him now. Can't stop him. Now, hear what I'm saying? Word of knowledge. Step 3. You see it here? Step 3, word of knowledge. Now, each leader, one person in each group, just pray briefly with me. Let's call you the leader. Just pray briefly with me as I pray this prayer. One person in each group, please. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you now, Lord, to grant words of knowledge to my group. Now, All right, now what we're going is, the next step is to encourage people. I'm going to ask in the group, allow the Holy Spirit to give any one of you, a very short thought or impression concerning somebody else in the group. Now, you shouldn't name the person. You shouldn't look around and say, look, God's told me you're going to die tomorrow or something like that. But a thought, listen, please. Excuse me, I've got to bring a bit of lightness in, otherwise you'll all get heavy. Excuse me, please. You don't name a particular person, but have a thought about somebody in the group. It might be that I believe somebody in my group is worried about some relative with an illness or some problem in their lives. Some person has suddenly heard some bad news, or some person is concerned about this or that. Just let the Holy Spirit give somebody in the group a thought about somebody else in the group, but don't name the person. Now, if you are the person who in fact has that sort of problem or situation, say, that's me. But don't pray for them. Let's just get on to somebody else, give somebody else a chance to also say the same, to say something. Because somebody else, God could be giving somebody else in the group another thought about somebody in the group. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's all we want to do now, is to let the Holy Spirit flow. And he will give in the group, each of you groups, at least one person, but we can flow around the group. Just as you're sitting in the group now, you'll get an impression about somebody else in the group. You don't look at a particular person. Just say, I believe somebody in this group has a problem with their children, or somebody has a problem with their teenage daughter, or somebody has a problem with sickness in some part of their body, or you can name the part, the Lord will give you the part, or somebody has a problem in dealing with somebody close to them, something like that. All right, you see what I'm driving at?
Yes.
Okay, Father, I just pray that you will grant radical, at least quickly, words of knowledge around the group. Now, as that word is brought, somebody in the group, if that relates to you, say, yes, that applies to me. It might be two people it applies to. And then move to another, give another person in the group the same chance to do that thing. Don't pray for that person. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to another person in the group and let them say something that they think God's saying about somebody. Got it? Okay, away we go. All right, we'll stop now. How many people have had something about somebody else in the group? Raise your hand, please. That's great. So most groups have had some word of something. And how many of them had a response? How many of you had a response in the group that's been... Okay, isn't that wonderful? Isn't it exciting? You begin to move in the Spirit of God. Next one is a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom. Now... Okay. I got your attention, everybody, please. I want somebody in the group to bring a problem forth. Now, you've got about two sentences to say. Don't start telling us your life story, okay? I was born in 1904 and I want this and that. Now, no. The fact is, we just want a quick thing where you need some help. But just very quick. I've got a daughter who's gone and living with a guy and he... this and that, or I've got this or that. Just very quick, and I want somebody else in the group to trust God to give a very quick word as to how to deal with the situation. Now, it's imperative that we move quickly, so both the person... Everybody will have a problem, I'll tell you that now. There's no problem getting... So we've got no problem getting somebody to bring forth a problem. But restrict it to a couple of sentences, please, and restrict your reply to a couple of sentences and give somebody else a chance. I know it may not be adequate, but at least God will give you some wisdom in responding and try to give somebody else a chance to bring forth their problem. Father, I just pray for your word of wisdom to flow mightily now, Lord, that as people bring forth their problems, you'll give a quick word of wisdom to another person or persons in the group to deal with that situation. Amen. Away you go. All right. Now we're going to do something else, folks. Let's move on. Now, the next one is discernment of spirits. And I want a person in the group who have a feeling that they are oppressed, such with something like fear or addiction. If you're a smoker, this is your great opportunity to be set free from the demon of smoking. If you're smoking, let somebody place their finger on your nose and breathe out through your nose, because smoking demon comes in through the eyes. And I've seen many, many people healed of smoking. If it's asthma, it'll be a spirit of fear. Now, let's just discern this. The others in the group should wait and see what type of spirit might be affecting that person. But I want you to, if you feel you are oppressed or driven or compelled by something, that's what we're talking about, let's be honest. There's something you can't handle. It's greater than yourself in the sense it's not greater than God, but it's affecting your whole life. It's driving you, compelling you. You can't get a memory away, rid of an old memory or something like that. Have you got the line I'm trying to take? Something that drives, compels, or torments you. We've got to be honest about this. It might be something that's been in you for years. But again, it might be a spirit of fear or a spirit of oppression, that type of thing. And we don't want to put any pressure on you, but we just want the person to, in the group, to say, well, I've got this terrific fear. I can't handle it. I've got another problem. I've got the sleep problem. I can never sleep. Or I've got another thing that is, I just can't handle it, be honest. And I need the power of God to drive it out. So I just, at this point, I don't want any deliverance to take place. I just want that spirit or that person to say, I've got this problem. And then in a few moments, I'll show you what to do. So in each group, would somebody say, yes, I've got something that I just can't handle in my life. Now, it's not a mind thing. I just can't handle the fact that I don't like the person next to me. Okay. All right. It's something that you really feel is trying to control your life. Now, in each group, I want just one or maybe two, to volunteer to say, yes, I've got that problem. That's all you do. We won't pray for you at this moment. Think about it. Just tell the others something that you is driving you, compelling you, or tormenting you. We don't want to talk about it. We just want the person to say, I've got this problem. I want at least one person in each group. You may confess to a lust problem. I don't know. All right, now we'll stop. Have we got one person in each group? If you have a person in your group who's already said, I've got such a problem, and it does appear to be to you that's driving, compelling, and tormenting them, raise your hand, please. Yeah, have we got one person in each group that's being filled up, being driven, compelled, and tormented? Okay, let that person stand, please. We just want one in each group at this stage, one. One. Now remember, it's a matter of being driven, compelled, or tormented. That group, are you absolutely pure in that group there?
Yes.
Okay. And what are you? No hopers down there, or have you got a problem? Oh, yeah, that's right, okay. Every group. What about this group here? You got no problem. You got no problem of something that is compelling. There's only three in that group, by the way. Okay. What about that group there? So virtually every group's got somebody. All right, now a couple of people gather around this person. Just follow me, please, what I say. Just two people will do. Don't overwhelm them. All right, now just follow me slowly, please, but don't get into something else. We won't have the time to do it. Let's say together, those who are standing with the problem, only those with the problem, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I renounce all sin And I ask you now to deliver me from this oppression in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, place your hand, the person standing with you, place your hands on their neck or shoulder and say with me, in the name, this is the other person who was standing there. If you've got the problem, don't say these words, the other people say. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command every spirit. Now say this with belief. That is affecting my brother or sister, whatever the case is. I command it to go now in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, wait a moment. Now that person, hold. The person who's being prayed for, take a deep breath of the Holy Spirit and continue to breathe out. In a few minutes I'll tell you to cough. Breathe in the Holy Spirit and breathe out hard. Breathe in and breathe out hard. Breathe in and breathe out hard. Now cough. Cough it out. Cough it out. I command that spirit. The others say, I command that spirit to go. Command that spirit to go. Go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus. Go, go. Leave them now. Go. Cough it out. Go. Out, 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 out. Keep saying out, out. Go, 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 go. Say go, go, go. The other, listen, say it to the people, say it strongly. Come on, put some guts into it. Go, go, go. The demon will laugh at you. Go, go, out. Put some guts into it. Go, go, go. Out, 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 out. Said out, believe it's going to go. Out, 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 demons. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Out. Go now. Go now. Cough it out again. Out. Go in Jesus Christ's name. God is setting you free. Cough it out. Out in the name of Jesus. Say it strongly. Don't just whisper. Say it out. Go. 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 As though you mean it. Go. The demon is deaf. Go on. Go. Out in Jesus' wonderful name. In wonderful name. Now, stand up. We'll stop for a moment. I see things are happening with people. Things are happening with people. Now, the person being prayed for, raise your hand and say, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, you may require further prayer for deliverance, but I'm today showing you the show, a methodology. Do you follow me? And some of you are going to definitely feel free after this. Others may not feel quite so free. You may need further prayer. But we are cut to a time cycle. I'm trying to do a lot of things at once. So, just bear that in mind. But if you want to pray for somebody who needs deliverance and feels that way, remember about demon power. The test of a demon, it drives, it compels, or torments. One of those three things. And if you find somebody being driven by something, or compelled by something, or tormented by something, it's usually a pretty good sign there's a demon there. Okay, or yourself. Okay, so let's sit down, please. So what we've dealt with there is discerning a spirit. Discerning a spirit, and also then delivering. Okay. Now, we finally come to healing and miracles. And everybody said, oh, well, I know how to pray for somebody else. Do you really? Do you really? I have not put faith on this list as such because faith is, of course, a gift from God for salvation, but God grants us faith as we read the Word of God and as we believe it. So I'm going to pray generally for everybody now to receive a gift of faith. A gift of faith, in other words, a further impartation. But you've got to work on it. All of this requires some action on your part. Bill Sobrisky prayed for me for the gift of faith, praise God, and I do nothing about it. Well, he won't operate in it. You've got to start saying, well, you're talking to somebody in a supermarket or somebody there, and all of a sudden they say to you, well, why don't you tell them about me? That's faith operating. And I find all sorts of situations. I get in a taxi and ask the guy where he's from, and he'll tell me, well, I've got a captive audience, so he has to listen to me for the next hour or three quarters of an hour. And by the time I get out, he's either sick of it or he's very interested, all right? But, you know, use every opportunity. You don't have to wait till you get some great flow of God's power come over you and you suddenly decide he's called you to talk to somebody. Always be prepared to share what God has, in a simple way, what God's done for you. You'll be surprised at people who are hungry out there. Hungry out there. you can speak to up to 5 or 10 people a day. Kaylin, who seems to love everybody around the place and talk to everybody around the place, has got a great gift in this area. I mean, it just goes and on and on and on and on and on to people. So there we are. But that's what we need, is to encourage people and say, well, look, there is an answer to life. You know, have you a problem? Well, you know, or they start to tell you their problem. Well, there is an answer. The answer is Jesus. And some 20 years ago, I came to him, and he's done this with me. You don't have to preach at them, and just talk about your testimony. We know that's starting to operate in faith. Or when you're praying for somebody, just put all your thoughts aside and leave it to God. In other words, just pray, believing. Except you become like a little child. You doesn't enter the kingdom of God. And when I'm praying for somebody who looks desperate in their condition, I'm not going to try and get them healed. I'm not going to look at their medical problem. What I'm going to do is just believe God to heal them. He's the one through me. I can't heal them. If I start to try and work out how to heal them and get faith for it, no. But I want to listen to the Holy Spirit. What I find, the more people you pray for, the more you'll say, put your hand there. Put your hand there. Or do this. Or do that. Just an impression comes up. Thought or impression. Remember I said about thought or impression? That's how God operates. And as you begin to pray, say, well, just pray this way. Or just say these words. Or, you know, they have a problem with their mother. Or they're very angry about their father. Or, and this is blocking my power. Or they haven't forgiven somebody else. Or they're in a situation which is quite ungodly, and just have some wisdom and talk to them. So those are the way. These are the ways you operate in faith. So let's all stand for just one moment, please. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, now put your hands on your chest, please, for a further impartation. Now let's go with me now, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name, for a further impartation of the gift of faith. I believe I receive it now. In Jesus' name, amen. And the Bible says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatever he says. So think of a mountain in your life for a moment. Mountain might be your wife, that may be a problem. Maybe your son, it might be a daughter. But whatever the problem is, let it be removed. Let's say together, dear Heavenly Father, I speak to the mountain of. Now, what is the mountain in your life? Sickness or disease or something like that? I speak to that mountain. Say it, name the mountain. I speak to the mountain of poverty or fear or whatever it is. Say it out loud. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, says Jesus, and you shall have them. Thank you, Lord. Say now, I speak to that mountain and command it to be removed out of my life in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's pray for the person next to us for healing, and not only healing, in many cases a miracle of healing. Okay? So one-on-one, please. We'll conclude this way. Lay your hand on the other person. Now just pray for their healing. Believe him for a healing.
meeting is over. Have a good lunch.